You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday, live broadcasting from the corporate headquarters. That means I'm home. After what, almost 2 weeks of traveling? Seemed like. So welcome to All Marine Radio. I got back home on Saturday night after I don't even know how to put it into words anymore, after a very humbling week, very gratifying week, very take your breath away week in North Carolina. And, yeah, I don't even know if I have words to describe, you know, the experience anymore. And because, what I've experienced, is, you know, it's, I don't know. I just wish my mom was around to see it. Yeah, she would like me more now, I promise you that. Nah, my mom loved me. I'll tell you what, it just, and then even, you know, so, if you listened last week, you heard different stories about running into Marines that, yeah, it's my house, running into Marines that had seen post-traumatic winning. And, now you're back on base again. And, started when I drove onto the base Sunday night. The sentry says, "Hey, sir, welcome back." I'm like, "Ooh, that's awesome." I said, you saw it? And he said, "Yeah." He said, "It was awesome." So, you know, you just, I mean, and that was the start of the week. And then you run into people on a daily basis that either see it for the first time or saw it before and want to talk to you about something. And again, it's just a wonderful feeling that something you've done, something you've been a part of, something that you conceived is having the effect that you always wanted it to have. And so, and then it just happened. It happened every day. And really for me personally, I said this last week, but I'll say it again this morning. I met two people again Well, I met one again for the second time, and then another one for the first time. When I had this in my head, after, you know, the interviews I've done for into the fourth year now, and you know, I thought about that. You know, I don't know that anybody's ever done what I've done, which is to interview Marines and talk about mental health for this long. I don't think it's ever been done in the history of the Marine Corps. So that would make me an expert. That's right. Oh, well, how many Marines have you talked to about this? And what's your experience? Do you have any experience doing it? So anyway. Yeah, I don't come uncredentialed as many would like to have you believe. So when I conceived this, right, I'd listen to people tell me the same story or variations of the same theme of I came home and I isolated myself, I didn't talk about it, my relationship suffered, I drank, I had this issue, that issue, I got divorced, it got worse, I wanted to kill my, you know, some variation of that theme, right? You hear it over and over and over again. And even the biggest dope at some point says, yeah, there's a trend there. And so, but anyway, so when I thought about, you know, what I would do with this, you know, I thought about writing a book, and then I talked to Dave Furness, but I had people in mind, and I've met them, and it's the coolest. The first person I had in mind was somebody who's already in it. In the blackness. I mean, I describe trauma as somebody throwing a grenade into a room, right? And not like a TV grenade, but a real grenade. Smoke and debris everywhere. And then, and you don't know what to do, right? You don't know what to do, and you don't know that there's a door that leads to a great place. And, but like I said, you don't know it's in the back of the room, in the corner someplace. And it would really be cool if you had a guide to take you to that door so you could go to that place and you could realize that, you know, that this is not a death sentence. It's not it's a difficult alley, but it's not a black alley with a dead end, right? That you can be, you know, you can have trauma in your life and you can still live, a fantastic life. And so the person that's already in that black room that doesn't know what to do was the first person I had in my head. And then the second person is, really, everybody else. The person that's, you know, at some point going to go into that room. And I had a Marine tell me last week, you know, when he said to me, he said, you know, I went to your class. I didn't want to go. You know, blah, 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 blah. I didn't want to go. And I was so pissed that I had to spend 3 hours at that thing. And he said, then, as I'm walking out with my best friend, he looks at me and says, that's the best class I've ever been to. and he said, I know I don't need to tell you that, Mac, because I know you don't suffer on confidence. I said, what do you mean? Everybody needs a kind word every now and then. And he started laughing and said, but it's really cool you're here because my dad committed suicide. I think he said in May, and he said, I knew what to do. I knew what to do for me. I knew what to do for my friends because of your class, and I just want to say thank you. But he's the guy outside the room. He's the guy who doesn't know about the hand grenade. He's the guy that I had in my head. And so, you know, if I ever believed in the power of post-traumatic winning and the concepts involved in it and the way it should be delivered, you know, my time last week has only served to strengthen you know, that which I already believe in. And just know that the truth from our culture is exactly that. It's powerful truth. The message that comes out of post-traumatic winning is a powerful, true message, and it ought to be communicated to everybody that that has the time to listen. And if you don't have the time to listen, you ought to be forced to listen, because trauma will no doubt at some point darken your doorstep. And when it does, you can save yourself a lot of pain if you understand it a little bit, and if you and more importantly, if you know where to go, right? And so I had those experiences all week. You know, and one of the things that happens to me is people come up to shake my hand afterwards, and then they don't let go of my hand. It's kind of weird, and it happens all the time. They shake your hand, and they stand there and talk. They stand there and talk to you while they hold your hand. And I had a Marine come up to me, and I don't know that. I mean, I'll never forget this. He's a big Marine. I want to see Master Gunnery Sergeant. He's a big guy. Couldn't talk. Came up, shook my hand. He tried to talk twice. Couldn't speak. I asked him if he was okay. And he smiled. And he shook his head. And then he left. So at some point, I hope he emailed me. Now, so then I fly back here on Saturday. And unlike one of my trips out there when I flew out at 5:20, although in retrospect, I'm not against that anymore. Because I flew out at 5:20 and I got home at like 11 o'clock in the morning. So that wasn't bad. But when I fly now, it tends to be like quiet, like Mac time. And really what I do is I go into the cone of silence, the cone of post-traumatic winning silence. And I just spend the day, right, with my thoughts and the ideas of post-traumatic winning. And when I fly there, I tend to be working on the script, the things that have changed, and it does, the way I'm presenting something. And I call them precision-guided munitions that I put in there. And, you know, as I'm watching something, or I see a video, or I listen to something that strikes me that could have an effect on the presentation, I grab it and I put it in, and I got to make sure I put it in the script, so when I prep for it, I know it's coming up and know how to make it effective. So anyway, I tend to be doing that flying there. On the way home, I've been doing stuff the whole week, right? So once I get on the plane, and when you fly from North Carolina, the plane ride from Jacksonville, North Carolina, where the airport is, to Charlotte's about 33 minutes. So you get in, you're up in the air, you're up and you're down, and then, so the wait in Charlotte, and then the flight, and I fly back to Orange County, so normally there's a second connecting flight. So I flew into Phoenix, and then you wait another hour there, and then you fly home. So anyway, that flight tends to be, you know, all the stuff that you've seen throughout the course of the week, and all the different things that have touched you, those things come, for me anyway, it's I put my my Beats headphones on, and I was listening to, in this case, this last week, I was listening to Ed Sheeran, who's got a new album out. I'm a bit of an Ed Sheeran fan, in case you don't know. And his latest album is awesome. It's kind of like a Santana-esque album in that it's collaborations. He's got, here's a couple of cuts off it. Here's, one's called Beautiful People. It's awesome. So I put the headphones on, and I'll sit there and I'll write for 4 hours. Yeah, and I'll be in the cone of post-traumatic winning silence. On a Saturday night in the summer, sundown and they all come out.
Lamborghinis and they rented Hummers. The party's on, so they're heading downtown. Everybody's looking for a come up, and they wanna know what you're.
My daughter Catherine told me this is a really good album, and she knows I like him, but I hadn't checked it out. And then the week before I left, Colleen was here, and she was watching videos, and I was reading. And I looked up and I said, "That's Ed Sheeran." She said, "Yeah, this is a new album." And I said, "Oh, I should buy that." So right before we took off in Charlotte, I downloaded the album. It's awesome. He's singing about that he's not a beautiful person, and he's in the entertainment business. That's not who we are. We are not beautiful. Good for him, too. And then, but here's my favorite song. It's like a bit of a, kind of a revenge theme. Not a revenge theme, but it's called Cross Me.
Don't worry about it, that's my seat, oh, that's all me. Just know if you cross her, then you cross me, cross me, cross me.
Just know if you cross her, you cross me. It's kind of a Marina's song.
Me and her are something different. I really need all you to understand. Nobody's coming close, and I don't ever want to run around.
Yeah, so he has all these different artists on the album, like Santana does. So it's very different, right? So I'm in the cone of silence on some American airline flight. And I'm writing. And I don't know, I mean, so I write for 4 hours. You know, different things at different points, and you know that this has changed, and I'll tell you who changed something. Yeah. Anyway, so I General Furness's wife said to me at some point, she goes, "You need to put a picture of your mom in the presentation." Corporal Punishment Kathleen. And I said, "You know what I do? I mean, I talk about her." But you know, what I thought was, what it made me think of is, you know, I talk about a lot of people. I talk about Eugene Sledge in there. Don't have a picture of him. I talk about Jack Riley in it. I don't have a picture about him. So it made me think of, like, you know, I could make this thing way more vibrant, right? And you don't extend it, but as opposed to, you know, staring at a screen with writing on it or something, that they should never be doing that unless you want them to, right? That it should be more multi. If you want to make it more vibrant and powerful, you know, do that. So anyway, so that got in my head. And I started looking at the presentation and say, okay, well, here this should happen, here this should happen, here this should happen. So I'm in the cone of love, of post-traumatic love. And I get home, and I land, and Catherine, who normally picks me up at the airport, she is at the horse races with Colleen and her mother and her grandmother. Yeah, they're down in Del Mar. Colleen loves gambling now. So we're texting. Dad, Colleen's like addicted to gambling as her first time. I said, "Whose money is she gambling?" She said, "Grandma's." I said, "Oh, she'll get cured. Trust me." And so I get an Uber ride home, and you know what? It's really, this is something that's interesting in my life now. Get in the car. "Hey, what's going on?" And I think the guy's name was Esteban. I said, "Hey, Esteban, what's up?" "It says that here you're great at conversation." He starts laughing. He says, "I don't know about that, but it works. I said, all right. Do you want me to sit in the front seat or the back seat? Because if I sit in the back seat, you look like my chauffeur. He goes, man, you sit wherever you want to. And I said, all right. So I sit in the front seat because, like, I don't need a chauffeur in my life. Come on. And Alex Holling's going to join us, by the way. And he's telling me that he has baby duty at noon, so normally we violate the 1 hour event. He's like, I can't do that today. So here's what happens to me on a regular basis. Hey, how's it going? I'm good, man. How are you? Fine. Where are you coming back from? North Carolina. Oh, really? Were you there long? Well, yeah, I was. For a week. He's like, well, that's long. I said, yeah. He said, what are you doing? I do some speaking. What do you talk about? Now, there's a phrase I use now, and Lance Corporal Kiker uses it too. What do I do? What do I talk about? I talk about how to convert trauma to joy. Right? And talk about that just came out of my heart, came out of my head, right, from doing it. Talk about a powerful, you know, message or a tagline that's completely unintentional. It was just, how do I articulate this? So anyway, I say that, and that just stops them, right? I had the same conversation with the woman that sold me the shirt in Macy's, I don't know, 10 days ago. And she just stopped what she was doing. She said, can you tell me? So I told her. And so then I have these conversations with, you know, people that I was just making conversation with, and they tell you something about their lives that's amazing. That's amazing. So so I get home, I come in, and I ordered a jacket, yeah, while I was gone. Not like a jacket that you wear with, like, nicer jeans. But it's not, you know, it's not a fancy jacket or anything like that. It's kind of a basic thing. So anyway, there's a box there. I left my Samsung tablet, because I'm not a Apple person. I left my Samsung tablet at the Air Force Academy Lodge. It was plugged in. I had everything ready to go. Told myself the night before, don't forget to grab this. And I forgot. So that's wonderful. So there's a package there. And then there's, I can't remember, there was something else that showed up. There was a package. So I'm loving being home. I'm hanging out with Jack and Joe. They're losing their minds, right? Because the big man's home. And, you know, opened up the doors and whatever windows were shut and airing the house out, and it's all good. So anyway, I opened the package from the Air Force Academy to get my tablet out. And inside, there's a note. Now, this is the kind of shit that keeps happening to me. And I'm like, oh, they must have, like, who would write me a note? Like, just saying, hey, this is your tablet. Oh, no. That's not what the note says. And let me read it to you. Mac, we are very sorry you have faced so much loss in your life. Hearing the numbers that our Air Force has seen of 30%, talking about increase this year, and your outstanding results, I'm thankful our commander brought you in to give your testimony and your view on dealing with trauma. As a war vet retiree, we don't ever get over those moments, both in war and our personal life. Your skills and tools have brought a new light to my dark world and new education to my leadership toolkit. Thank you for using God's will and strength to turn times of tragedy into something that changes life. So it reminded me of when I got my pen, right? You're just cruising through your day, and then somebody completely, right, stops your day by something they wrote to you, by something they sent you, or something like that. And it happens to me over and over and over. And it's just the coolest, it's the coolest stuff in the world. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, it's so, you know, I'm happy, I'm home and all that. And then I'm not like only happy anymore. I'm like out of my mind fucking happy. Yeah. I mean, I'm like heart singing happy. So, I just want to encourage you, right? I want to encourage you that if you'll embrace the truth that's in post-traumatic winning, if you will, right, give of yourself, and then get out of the way, because the stuff that happens, knock your block off. I mean, honestly, it's... And it keeps happening to me. And again, I mean, I don't even recall meeting the person who wrote that note. They went to the class, though. They went to the class. And so, anyway, I'm not joking when I say I'm the coolest person in the room. I know people are like, whatever, dude. But I'm not. And my life is, I could have never envisioned, this coming out of that. Not in a million years would I have thought that. And what I say to Marines and sailors and soldiers now and airmen that have all seen it is, man, you could be as cool as me. All you got to take the truth, combine it with your experience, and touch somebody's life. And it happened. So, welcome home to everybody. Welcome home to me. It's awesome to be back. And I'll be home for a couple of weeks and then off to D.C. to present post-traumatic winning and do the show from the Modern Marine Expo down in Quantico, which is the big show the Marine Corps puts on. So, fired up to do that in a couple of weeks. All right. Then got contacted by the University of Minnesota Mankato, where I did the first ever post-traumatic winning presentation a year ago, Veterans Day. And they contacted me and said, hey, would you be interested in coming back? I said, as a matter of fact, I would. As a matter of fact, I would. So, yeah, with all that said, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. I'm going to play a little audio. I don't know if you saw General Mattis over the weekend. He appeared twice on CBS. The CBS, what do they call that? CBS Sunday Morning? Is and again, General Mattis, he picks media outlets based on his ability to trust them. So if he doesn't have somebody that he's known for a long time there that he knows to be what I would say honorable, he doesn't go near it. Because he doesn't believe that between the editing and the way they portray his words, that what he believes will be articulated. And he's lived it, right? Do an interview, and then this is what came out of the interview? Sorry. So, pretty interesting. So, I'm going to play I'll play both segments in their entirety. One is CBS Sunday Morning, which is David Gregory, long time, I think that's his name, CBS reporter, was with General Mattis when he was a CO of 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, and Task Force Ripper during the march up. Not the march up, during the invasion, during Desert Storm, part of Desert Shield, Desert Storm. So I think it's David Gregory, and they cross paths there. Then he went on CBS's Sunday Morning, not Sunday Morning, CBS whatever news event on Sunday, and did that. So, yeah, we'll hear that. And then Alex Hollings will join us here on Monday. So, summer's done, no matter how you define it. When kids go back to school, they're back to school. After Labor Day, it's after Labor Day. Into September, we're into September. So, welcome to September. good morning to you, and this makes it official. This is dedicated to the Marines of the 2nd Marine Division. And it pains me to say this, but 2nd Marine Division, my favorite division in the Marine Corps. I deployed every time I went into harm's way, every time I served in the operational forces of the Marine Corps with the Blue Diamond, the 1st Marine Division. But I will say this. The 2nd Marine Division has embraced the concepts in post-traumatic winning. When they first heard that, the ideas in it, there had been 1.2 suicides a month in that division. There is now 0.117 suicides in that division. They're going on the ninth month, and they've had one suicide in those 9 months, so knock on wood. And it is the idea, it is the truth of the presentation that comes from our culture. It is leaders that stand up. It's been an interesting learning experience for me, again. There's all kinds of programs that you can get involved in. But the power of the program is who brings that program to somebody, right? If you have a dud that's up there clicking slides and talking, then guess what? Your program's a dud. So part of it is me, right? And being able to present it. Not that other people can't do it, but I'm doing it. Okay? So part of it is the presentation and the power of the truth that's in that. The message has to have credibility, and in my opinion, it's got to come from, inside the culture. It's got to be culturally appropriate. And so if you have dorks that have, like, a message, it might be a great message, it's going to fall on deaf ears because they don't habla, they don't speak the language. But if you take the truth from a culture and you present that, and I don't care if you're an athlete, I don't care if you're a college student, but it comes from your culture, people see the truth in that. And I think that's important. I think that the delivery and the context of where that truth comes from is really, really important. The other thing I will say is this. If the people that present it, if the people that introduce it, in this case, commanding officers, if they don't pull their pants down, if they don't go open kimono, if they don't talk about what they struggle with, then it's just, it can be more just blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't have these problems, but some people might. And the truth is, everybody struggles with something. And when you couple the truth, when you couple that truth with somebody's personal example of what they struggle with, and that personal example is a shock to just about everybody in the room, and those people look at that leader and say, holy shit, man, if he or she struggles with it, I had no idea, man. I thought they were I thought all officers of that rank, I thought all staff non-commissioned officers of that rank, I thought those guys were good. Turns out, everybody's struggling. Oh, no shit. Everybody's struggling. Then that means everybody's faking it. So let's stop faking it. So Second Marine Division has embraced all that, and they're learning the lessons of how to be better, how to know them more, how to counsel them better, how to be more involved in their lives. And that is the magic. That is the magic. So this is dedicated to them. They're doing it. They've been doing it for the last 9 months. I only wish them continued success as they get after this stuff in a better way.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I've stuck around that low-paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PSC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
You know, in that whole sequence, I love Jack Riley, man. I tell his story, and I need to call him today and get him back on. But he's just great. He's a great man. He's a great Marine, and devoted his whole life to helping his Marines and his community. You know, to me, he's one of those guys that's a real world George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life. We'll check the weather around the Marine Corps here. Sunny and 80 in Quantico. Partly sunny and 85 at Camp Lejeune. Now, they got a little bit of weather on the coast. So we'll talk about that real quick. They've got 3 weather warnings, even though I've only said 2. I'm seeing things that are asking for money for hurricane victims. I would not give anything to them. Wait. Do you want to give right away? The American Red Cross, always good. All right. There's a storm surge watch, there's a hurricane watch, and there's a local pollen alert in North Carolina in a coastal area around the vicinity of Camp Lejeune. Now, I would tell you that there's no flood warnings, there's no high river warnings, there's no high surf warnings, so none of that. So it's been downgraded to a Category 2. Oh, there you have it. Sunny and 90 in 29 Palms, which means it's going to be hot out there today. Sunny and 76 at Camp Pendleton, which means it's going to be hot along the coast today. I'm not a big fan of that. Dark, cloudy 79 in Hawaii, the home of the 1st Marine Brigade. On Okinawa, kind of steady state. Dark, cloudy in 83. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, late in the day, early in the evening, must have been hot there today, because it is clear, dark, and 101 in Iraq. And then in Afghanistan, cooled off a little bit, dark, cloudy, and 85. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. You'll hear some audio from Secretary Mattis. More of All Marine Radio coming up. On your home for it, back home. Just a quick break, and then back here in 2 minutes. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Peyton Davis, you know, one of the things I just heard from Tsunami Lady in Alabama, and Colleen started school today. One of the things my ex-wife does, oh my God, my grandson went to preschool, got a motivated haircut. So there's pictures of both of them. Mike's wife has done this forever, right? Gets them all together, like a lot of families do, on the first day of school. And takes the school picture, right? So, let me tell you the other thing. I don't know if I'm going to have... You know what? You're not going to hear Gerald Mattis audio today, sorry. I don't have enough time to do both segments, and I need to do both segments. So what I'll probably do is I'll probably bring Lynch and Kenny on, and we'll play both segments, and we'll talk about them. I think that'd be interesting. Yeah, so Colleen's first day. A junior in high school, just turned 16 last week. I was gone for it, so happy birthday to Colleen. I'm looking at the picture now. I think her pants are a little too tight. She might hear about that from me. But let me tell you, my grandson is the cutest kid in the world today. He's got his backpack on. He's got a good haircut. And you can tell he's excited. So good luck today to Finny Finn Finn. Going to preschool. Yeah. I think that's a 5-day-a-week event. Let me go over some headlines since I haven't done that in a while. I had to like reacquaint myself with what's going on in the world. The next time I go speak like that, Tim Lynch probably going to fill in for me. I've got to send him a mixer and man, he's got to see if he can do everything. But and then I can hop on for like a half hour, whatever I can do, but I can't do it all. So anyway. So if you haven't seen the stories, Gerald Mattis was on 60 Minutes twice over the weekend. I would tell you to check that out. Stars and Stripes, Navy is the fattest, but obesity rates up across the country. The Navy was the most obese, and the Marine Corps is by far the least, but the overall rate across the military continued a steady increase, a Defense Department study found. Nice. DOD getting fatter. Perfect. More than 70% of the military personnel are considered obese across the DOD, up from less than 16% 4 years earlier, said the report. For the Navy, the rate was 22% compared to 8.3% of Marines. The Army rate matched the overall average, and the Air Force was slightly higher at about 18%. Well, what was the Army? Oh, the Army matched the average. Okay, and then what was it relative to? So is the Marine Corps at 8.3%? Is that up too? Military data shows more than one quarter of the troops over age 35 were obese. 25. Less than 10% of those under the age of 25. Like what? Nearly 90% of the Marines were under the age of 35, compared to about three quarters of the other services. But the Corps suffered higher rates of acute injuries such as sprains and strains compared to the DOD as a whole. Back and knee and joint disorders were the leading causes of limited duty. Well, no shit, man. That's because we're not sitting on our ass. More than 20% of Americans aged 12 to 19 and nearly 40% of those at age 20, over the age of 20, were obese, according to the National Health and Nutrition Survey. All right, so I got to get more information about that. Troops of the future may ditch night vision goggles in favor of eye injections to see in the dark. Okay, I've got some advice for anybody who's going to be offered injections in your eyes so that you can see at night. Just say no. Ask for the goggles, okay? You've seen how good the DOD is at everything, right? Your rifle's made by the low bidder. Your boots, the same. Shit goes wrong all the time. Do you need shit going wrong with their injections in your eyes? Hold on. I'll give you the answer without even having to get your secret decoder ring out. No. Not only no, but fuck no. All right. Yeah, injections in your eyeballs. You got to be shitting me, man. Ranger school graduates include the first women in the Air Force to earn a Ranger tab. This is graduating from the school. And a former NBA player who's 7 feet tall. U.S. Army Second Lieutenant Marshall Plumley, a member of Duke University's 2015 NCAA championship basketball team, and a former New York Knicks player were among the graduates of the Army's most recent Ranger School class. Now, just remember this. Ranger School, much different than being in the Ranger Regiment. Okay, a lot of people can go through Ranger School. The Air Force First Lieutenant was, her name is Chelsea Hibsch. She's a security forces officer. Interesting story. We need to get Grant Newsham on. New Japanese police force will defend disputed islands in the East China Sea. This is the first time Japanese police will be called to respond to territorial incursions near the Senkaku Islands, which are controlled by Japan but claimed by Taiwan and China. So Japan, not stupid. They watched how China has encroached in the South China Sea, and so Japan has moved to defend it, sending their quote-unquote police force, but it's probably not going to look like a police force. Some headlines out of USNI. Let's see. The boxer, first of all, fleet tracker, boxers transiting the Red Sea and headed for the Med. The Abraham Lincoln Carrier Battle Group, Strike Group, CSG, is in the North Arabian Sea. The Carrier Strike Group Ronald Reagan is in Yokosuka. The WASP, the 31st MEU, I believe, is out and about in the Pacific. USS Bataan, East Coast MEU, is off the coast of Florida. went to sea to get away from any kind of damage that might be incurred because of the hurricane. There's redacted emails, and I don't have time to go through it, but I'll do it later today. There's redacted emails in the Moran case, right? Remember, he was confirmed as a CNO, then resigned, said he could not accept the position. So that's interesting. Another headline, USS Harry Truman suffers major electrical malfunction, raising questions about its upcoming deployment. The Truman can't get its shit together in terms of the physical plant of the ship. So that's interesting. Budget analysis shows DoD spending doesn't line up with the focus on a high-end fight. So, yeah, that's the lip service coming out of the Pentagon. But what they're spending money on is not exactly that. Marine Corps Times, a Marine Pooley died in Maryland after the run portion of an initial strength test. So, supposed to go to Paris Island in September. So that's going on. I don't like this headline, and I've seen it now about three different times. Green Beret from 1st Special Forces Group dies during combat ops in Afghanistan, leaves pregnant wife and young daughter behind. That pisses me off when I read that. Who do you think chose, right, that? Who knew every risk that he was taking, to include the risk that his family would bear? Yeah, now it's like this whole woe is me narrative. Absolutely, should we respect his family and do everything we can to make that a soft landing? That was his decision, though. And, you know, if he saw the headline, I'm sure he would say, you know what? That's bullshit. The President of the United States says 8,600 troops will stay after the Afghanistan withdrawal. So, again, you know, the more I read about the whole Afghan thing, we're negotiating with the Taliban, and then the Taliban's going to, in turn, negotiate with the federal government of Afghanistan. Are we setting the people up of Afghanistan for another bloodbath? Answer that, possibly. There's new rules if you're going to fly missions in Iraq. U.S. and coalition troops fighting the anti-ISIS campaign in Iraq have a new process for getting flights approved daily following an August 15th order from the country's prime minister that all use of Iraqi airspace would be pre-approved or else considered hostile. Emergency flights receive blanket approval. A spokesman for Operation Inherent Resolve told Military Times earlier this month. But further details are now available on the pre-approval process for planned air missions. Iraqi leadership now receives a daily air tasking order, which is, you know, we produce it, with more detailed information about types of missions, aircraft, and operating areas for each flight, said a spokesman for Operation Inherent Resolve. Now, here's the question. Right. Does somebody want that, to turn missions off so that whatever they're doing, whatever nefarious thing they're doing, or they want it to leak it? God only knows. So, film at 11. Stay tuned. All right. Top five stories in early bird real quick. Number one, Iran acknowledges a rocket explosion, says the test malfunctioned. Now, the question is, did the Israelis get in there? And that's always the question when you see this shit happen. And did they jack it up? Okay. And so who knows, right? Nobody knows for sure. But Iran acknowledged the explosion. Number two, agreement in principle reached with the Taliban to withdraw 5,000 U.S. troops within 5 months. Number three, John Bolton's the singer. John Bolton, National Security Advisor, evidently has a diminished role in Afghan policy, as his standing with the president falters. Number four, Jim Mattis, nations with allies thrive, nations without allies wither. Number five, Green Beret from the 1st Special Forces Group dies during combat operations in Afghanistan. Sergeant First Class Dustin Ard. So, anyway. Alright, we'll take a break. When we come back, you will hear from Alex Hollins, and he and I will catch up. I'll ask him if he's heard of Secretary Mattis. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my commanding unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.